Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550. Tee to Green on WGR is presented by Woods to Wedges, by Michelob Ultra, by the Western New York PGA, by Custom Turf, and by our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantara, and Briarwood. It's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis.
Good morning, 7 o'clock here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brian Cozio and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. And we have an audience here today, Jeff.
Yeah, this is a little different than what we normally have. There's about 10, 15 people watching us do the show this morning from the beautiful veranda.
That's right.
Here at East Aurora Country Club. Beautiful morning.
Absolutely, yes. Good morning to everybody here. Thanks for being with us here. Your weekly stop for local golf talk here in Western New York. Yes, as Jeff said, we are at beautiful East Aurora Country Club. Our annual visit. We come twice a year, we always come this week to preview the International Junior Masters, which will be taking place for the 67th year. Pretty impressive, Jeff, that an event like this and the work that goes into it has now reached year 67.
Yeah, and there is a lot of work, and these events don't just happen by themselves. And the committee's been busy, and everybody's hustling this week, and the players are starting to get ready, and the course looks like it's in perfect shape. And we're lucky to have one of the premier junior golf events in the world here at East Aurora, and we're excited to be here.
That's right. Yeah, we'll talk about that a lot here throughout the course of the hour here on Tee to Green on WGR. Coming up on the show, as we mentioned, a look at the tournament, which starts on Tuesday. So we'll break it all down for you. If you don't know about the event, well, luckily here for you, we can break that down in terms of what is to be expected this week. We're going to be speaking with some of the players, in fact, four of them, and some of them have traveled from all over the world to be here, including we're going to speak with the gentleman coming from Australia here, which will be fun to talk to.
Which is pretty cool, yeah. I wonder what the time change is like for him right now. Yeah, 7 a.m. in Buffalo, New York versus Australia.
I know. Yeah. That's going to be great. Of course, we'll have some thoughts on last week's U.S. Open and Gary Woodland's win as he picked up his first major. We'll get our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. And Kevin Sylvester, of course, as you know, normally a part of our show this week on his weekly tours for PGA Tour Radio, he's working the Travelers Championship. So Kevin will check in towards the end of our show around 7:50, and we'll get his thoughts on what's going on this week on the PGA Tour. But we want to thank everybody here at East Aurora for the warm welcome here today, and PGA Pro Jones and Course Superintendent Drew Thompson and all the staff. We know that they've put in quite a good amount of work. And the tournament directors, Jeff Kamian and Paul O'Brien, they always do such a wonderful job. We'll speak with at least one or maybe both of them coming up a little bit later here today, too.
Yeah, we got a full calendar, full show for the East Aurora Junior Masters here. I'm amazed that the golf course looks as good as it has with all the rain that we've had. Their golf course looks like it dried up pretty good. Fairways look dry. Everything looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's been a challenging year. We've been mentioning it for weeks here on our show, and for months it seems like now, and kudos to Course Superintendent Drew Thompson and his staff, because, you know, just looking around here, it looks great. And I mean, you know, from working at Glen Oak, and you know, we've been at courses and talking with pros and supers of just the challenge of the spring. More rain came Thursday, but this course looks ready to go for a tournament.
Yeah, they got 1.3 inches of rain, I think they said Thursday. This place drains a little better. It's got some elevation changes, so that'll help. I know my golf course is pretty wet still. We've had a lot of rain, and it doesn't move too well from some of these flatter spots.
Yeah. All right, so Brian Cozio, Jeff Mitis here at East Aurora Country Club. Let's get things started. Let's meet some of the players that are going to be participating this week in the 67th Annual International Junior Masters, which starts on Tuesday here at East Aurora. Noah Unger from St. Francis High School and Mitch Jeffy from East Aurora High School are joining us. Noah, we'll start with you. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Mitch?
Good morning.
Either of you guys done radio before?
I have just, like, school radio. That's about it.
School radio.
Same,
awesome.
Same idea.
Yeah.
That's right. You're going to be taking this job here in a few years from us?
Hopefully. We'll be ready. Never know.
That's right. Mitch, how about you?
Nothing.
Radio debut?
Yep.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, you look excited.
That's great.
Yeah. Teenage boys in the morning don't always look so excited.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, for them, they're golfers. They're used to getting up early, right? That's right. So, Noah, this is your third year playing in the event.
Yes.
What do you like about it?
It's just the experience with all the international players that come in. I mean, even my first year, I think it was, I played from a kid from Colombia the first day, and then last year, my first day, I played with a kid from Mexico. And just hearing the courses that they play around their areas and how different it is from here is just really interesting to me.
Do you end up, like, in terms of communicating with them later on or things like that? Like, have you made friendships out of this at some point?
Kind of. I mean, I'll see them around here because they usually play for a couple years. I know everyone who comes at least once probably comes back again if they don't age out. So just seeing them, I remember their names and stuff. So that's kind of the biggest thing is just seeing them after the first year that I meet them and kind of still connecting, which is nice.
Are you more comfortable going into this year than you would be in the other years? I mean, as far as how, like, you get nerves? I mean, everybody gets nerves.
My first year, it was really nervous. Mm-hmm. This year, kind of just going in calm. I'm kind of ready to go play, so.
Is this your last year?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're trying to have the final swan song.
Exactly. I improved every year, so hopefully one last year will be a good one. So
that's great. Mitch, how about you? This is your fifth year playing in it, so you've got some experience. What do you think about just in terms of your progression over the years here now going into year five?
I definitely think it's less pressure on me. I mean, a little bit more since my last year, and you want to, you know, make it the best one. But it's definitely, like, less nervous on the first tee than it was my first year.
Yeah. Can you remember what that feeling? Tychus, what was that like that first time you hit that first ball? Was that tough to do? I mean,
it definitely was.
Did you hit it good?
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is just not shanking it
off
the first tee. So.
Well, that's a negative thought. Wow.
No, that's good.
Just think about where you want to hit
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Stripe it out there.
Mitch, what do you like about playing in this event?
I mean, I definitely like meeting all the foreign players and, like, getting to know them. But I also like the setup. I mean, there's, like, all these dinners. There's, like, long drive contests. There's just things to, like, stay involved. And there's match play on the last 2 days, which is really fun for me. So I just like the setup, along with just meeting all the new players from different parts of the world.
Either of you guys playing in college?
Originally I was going to go to Damon and play, but they recently just discontinued their golf program, so I ended up decommitting there, and the goal is to try to walk on at Le Moyne College up in Syracuse, hopefully.
Okay, they got a nice program up there.
Great program up there.
Yeah, they got a good coach. It's a nice program. Mm-hmm. And yourself, are you thinking about college?
I'm committed to Cedarville University in Ohio for the next year. That's Division II.
And I got to think playing an event like this will make you better players. As you know, the more high-end competition you get, you want to –
For sure.
It's got to make you better players.
Yep. Noah Unger from St. Francis and Mitch Jeffy from East Aurora, and you guys both are familiar with this course, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the key to playing well here?
Hit fairways is the biggest thing. I mean, the rough's not really thick here, but you get in some tricky areas in a couple of the holes if you're errant with your tee shots. So tee shots are the biggest thing, and on the greens, it's just if you've played enough, you kind of know where they break, but there's a couple holes. Like I know, I think it's six. The greens kind of sloped a specific way where it looks like it could break one way, but it's really going the other way.
In the hill there. Yeah. Sometimes they're cutting the side of the hill. Yeah.
Mitch,
what do you think?
Missing in the right spots when you're hitting towards green or, like, hitting below the pin so you don't have these tough downhill putts, because once they go by the hole, they're going to keep going.
What's the hardest shot out here? What's the hardest tee shot out on this golf course besides the first one?
In my opinion, 10. I hate 10's tee shot.
Up and
it's
down.
Tough. It's just a straight uphill shot, and you can't really draw the ball left, or you go down towards 12 or 13's kind of rough, the little collection area down there. And even if you hit like a little bit of a fade, if you fade it too much, you're in the trees. So it's a tough tee shot there.
Would you agree?
10? 10's one of the toughest ones for sure.
Awesome. All right, before we let you guys go, we got a couple more players to come in. Just playing golf through your high school years and stuff like that. I mean, obviously now it's coming to an end here. Just what do you look back at it if you were gonna send a message to yourself of 5 or 6 years ago, what would you tell him?
I would say play golf more, because about 5 or 6 years ago is like when I played a lot of baseball. I think my freshman year was the first year I really started golfing more, and that's when I stopped playing baseball. But I wish I would have started playing a little earlier than I did.
Okay.
But I'm happy I came freshman year, and that's when I started to play a lot, and especially just making the St. Francis team was kind of just a big confidence boost to go play more.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Just trying to start earlier, whether like in the spring, getting practice in, or just trying to keep with it, even if you're in a slump or whatever, and just keep grinding through.
That's best awesome. Way to get out of a slump, play your way mm-hmm. through it. Yeah, not on the range, just go out there and play.
That's right.
You'll find your way through it.
Well, Noah, Mitch, thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck this week, and we hope to see you guys being a part of a fantastic finish maybe at the end here. Thanks
thank
a lot.
You.
And good luck in school.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Which is more important. Yes, that's right.
Absolutely.
It's interesting for me because, you know, I haven't been a college coach. You see, I've heard all these names. You've been tracking these kids since they've been third. You know, you see all the good scores. So you see them doing well in the sectionals. You see them doing well in the districts and the states and stuff like that. And to have them out here and see them getting ready for a nice tournament like this is pretty cool.
That's right. So Noah Unger and Mitch Jeffy, thanks. We're going to bring in another couple guys here in just a moment. Andrew, here you go. You can put the headset on. And Kai, you can put the headset on here. So we transition into a couple of more players. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, what about some advice, Jeff, that you'd be giving these guys here?
You know, first, I think it's great because you always want to play up a level. You want to play at the highest level you can. That's how you get better, playing with better players. My advice is, you know, play your game. You know, if you're good at hitting irons or play the yardages you like and trust yourself out there. You know, you're here because you're a good player, and you've proven you can play. So take that confidence, go out there, follow your routine. You know, if you're try to limit those big scores too, because it ends up being match play. But the first 36 are stroke play to qualify. That's where you want to avoid the big score. If you get into trouble, pitch out. You know, try to get up and down from somewhere. Don't try to hit that hero shot. But yeah, just play your game. These guys are good players. Just try to get comfortable. You start off slow, you know. Ease your way into the round, and once you get playing, you should be fine.
7-11 here on WGR on Tee to Green. We're live at East Aurora Country Club in anticipation of next week's International Junior Masters, the 67th annual edition of the event. And there's been some definitely big recognizable names. We'll run through some of those coming up in our next segment as we'll speak with some of the tournament directors. But we want to bring in a couple more players here now. Andrew Lacongo, if you follow local high school golf, you'll know his name. He's from Holland High School, I should say. Yep. We have an international event. I shouldn't
That's
say
right.
just from Holland.
That's right.
Holland High School. And then Kai Kamulainen from Australia. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Kai, you're from Australia. What time is it in Australia right now? It's 7:11 here in Buffalo.
10 past 9.
That's right. So your day is just about over already. Have you adjusted to the time yet? When did you come into Buffalo?
Wednesday night. So I've got a bit of time now. I'm pretty good.
That's right.
And is this your first year here? Second year? How many?
Second year.
Second year here. Came back, huh?
Yeah.
Long way to go.
Mm.
Worth it though. Yep.
Tell us how the trip was. Like I assume there's not a direct flight from Australia to Buffalo, right?
No.
Yes. All right. So how'd you get? Tell us how'd you got here.
So we had to fly to LA first and then to Atlanta to here. It was just really long, 27, 28 hours.
Yeah.
Didn't get much sleep, so it was tough.
And where in Australia are you from?
Sydney.
Sydney? Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Awesome. Andrew, you didn't make a trip as far from Holland here.
About 15 minutes.
That's right. You had a little easier trek, so.
Yeah.
Tell us about your experiences here, Andrew. What do you like about playing here?
I like everything about this tournament, especially the food. I don't know.
That's important.
First year I came in here, qualified just through like the East Aurora, two kids each year. Came in, didn't really expect much because I was 13. Game wasn't that strong. Came out here though, had a lot of fun. The kids were great. Played with some kids from Canada, I think, and then one kid from Mexico. Other than that, like, this tournament is just, it's a lot of fun. Long drive contest in the beginning, food, like I said.
Yep.
Then the match play, it's like my favorite part.
Yeah,
the
match play. That's awesome.
And are you planning college?
Yeah, I am at St. Bonaventure.
Oh, okay, yeah, nice program, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. Andrew, how many years have you been playing in this event?
This will be my sixth year.
This is your sixth year, okay. Yeah. So you've got quite a bit of experience. And Kai, this is your second year playing in here, too. Excellent. Andrew, your team... for high school this year, we should commend East Aurora Holland combined team. You guys won the Section 6 team championship,
did,
correct?
Yeah.
And your coach is here. So
he is.
Congratulations, coach. You did a good job with the team.
Yeah, they had a strong team this year.
Yeah. Tell us about just your season and everything.
The past few years, my past 4 years, ever since freshman year, it was me, Jake Roach, and then two Jeffies. We were kind of leading the team, and we were always right up there. And we lost Orchard Park in the section finals each year up until last year. Kept decreasing our losses by, I think it went from 10 to 2 strokes to 1 to 1 stroke, and then we eventually got them this year by, I think, like 10 or 11, so that
Excellent.
Was pretty solid. Yeah,
it's a nice way to cap it off.
Yeah.
Good job. Kyle, what about, do you play golf for your school in Australia, in Sydney?
No, No, we don't have that. No.
So what is the setup like for you then? I mean, is there an organization that you're a part of? Is there a team you're on, or do you just work with a coach, or how to?
Yeah, we have like a state development team. I'm sort of on that. That's sort of before your interstate team, which is like the national where you play against all the other states. Then there's like the club level, so junior pennants, that's like our junior team, and then major pennants, that's like our just our regular pennants team, really.
And right. Were you playing college? We play at university or in,
yeah, that's yeah. kind of the goal to yeah. play something like that.
And they have that type of offerings up in Australia also?
Yeah.
Do they have
they don't have like golf as university, so it's more like here where it's at.
Is that what you're looking to do maybe is come yeah. here to go?
Yeah, I think that's a good pathway, sort of a good way to get into stuff.
Excellent. How did you hear about this event?
So my coach, you might have heard of him, Billy Watson. Mm-hmm. So he played here a few years ago, and yeah, they sort of have something with our club, and they just send juniors every year. So I'm here with a friend as well.
That's great. So this is your second year playing in it.
Yeah.
So obviously you liked it because you're back.
Yeah.
So what do you like about playing in this event?
I just love everything about it. The course is just amazing. I think that, like, the format and the way it's run, like, with all the dinners and everything, I think that's really nice. Long drive, everything, just the course. I really love that as well, yeah.
How are the courses? Are the courses similar? Do you play? Is there anything like this in Sydney area? Or
no.
How would you say the golf differs?
That's hard to say, but, like,
the grasses,
I mean, the grasses are just all different, yeah. This is kind of a lot softer. The rough's a lot thicker. The courses are not as lush, you know, like this. So, yeah, this is, like, really good compared to sort of where I've played a lot.
Yeah. Andrew Lacongo with us here, playing in the event for the sixth year from Holland High School, heading to St. Bonaventure. And Kai Kamulainen from Australia, he's in the tournament now for his second year. Jeff, these guys here, it's, you know, two different approaches coming in. And Kai, as we said, a little challenge maybe playing courses that are a little different setup.
Well, the grass makes a big difference.
Yeah, like talk about that.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's much more lush, I would imagine, here than what you're used to. Even the type of putting surface, right? And
yeah.
The greens will roll different. They'll break different. Type of grass you have? Is it zoysia? Or?
So my greens are poa leaf.
Poa, okay. Yeah, there's a lot of poa around here, too, so it shouldn't be too different. But, the grass, and we've had such a wet spring, and he's coming from, you know, the other part of the hemisphere, equator. Couldn't be more different. Thick, lush, wet. The ball's not rolling here. I imagine the ball's hitting and stopping everywhere, and the ball's probably trundling out where you play. So it's a different type of game, but that's what makes them better players. You know, you get to experience this. You play in the wind, probably windier. It gets windy here. It feels like it's always windy in Western New York.
So, well, you mentioned the greens here. Around here, for players listening that are going to play course in Western New York, is that something that they should make a note of in terms of the type of the grass on the greens?
I don't know that you need to make a note of it. Most greens strive to have bent grass, but Poanua is it's actually a great putting surface, except for a few weeks a year when it's seeding, if you can maintain it. So most places will have mostly bent, and there's be some Poanua in there. As long as greens are smooth, it really doesn't matter. You know, if the pace is good and they're smooth, people like putting on them. It's when they start to get bumpy. The end of the day now, so if you're one of the good players or you get a late pairing, that's when you'll start to notice it if you play late in the day. Right now the grass is growing pretty fast, and by the end of the day the greens will get a little thicker and bumpier, and you'll have a little bit of unevenness with the 80 degrees and sunshine and all the water. But I wouldn't pay too much attention to it. We don't get a lot of grain, so you don't have to worry about grain when you're putting, you know, which way it's setting into the sun and things like that. Down south do you have grain in your grasses?
No, not really.
Not
it just
too much?
Depends, like bent grass greens usually have a bit of grain, but not really on poa, no.
Yeah, not too much around here.
All right, Andrew, so this is year six for you. What goals do you have for this tournament this year?
Want to win it this year. Last year I finished, I think, eighth, something like that.
So you feel like, hey, I can do this week. What are some things that you've been focusing on to try to maybe get this win this week?
A lot of short game this year. I realize kind of playing here all the time how much that you need short game, getting the ball close. If you're missing the greens, it's tight, so it's pretty easy to miss the green. You got to get up and down here.
This is your home course too, right?
Yeah.
All right, so you're used to this. Kai, what about you? What are your thoughts on playing this week and just keys to playing well?
Well, I really think that just putting yourself in position off the tee, I think getting it on the fairway on a lot of holes is important to just make it easier to get on the green, because once you can hit most greens, there's a lot of tough places to get up and down on this course, so if you can hit a lot of greens by getting yourself in position off the tee, I think that makes it a lot easier to play well.
Awesome.
Have you played around yet? this year since you've been here?
Yeah, I've been out here a couple times.
So you got to experience the different conditions. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, gentlemen, good luck this week.
Thank you.
We're rooting for you well. We appreciate it. Good job. As we let Andrew and Kai go here, and we'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about the tournament, more about the U.S. Open. We'll get our tip of the week coming in here as we roll on from East Aurora Country Club on Tee to Green. It's International Junior Masters Week. A little live audience, Jeff. Enjoy the clapping going in and out of break here.
It's like when you walk into a room, you hear it all the time.
That's right. I'm not used to it.
That's right.
You have this music, though, in the background when you walk out.
That's right. Yeah, it's my walk-up music.
That's right. With PGA Pro Jeff Mitas, I'm Brian Colesio. More Tee to Green here at East Aurora Country Club when we return right after this on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen up, golfers. Here comes the Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, brought to you by the Western New York PGA. The Western New York PGA has one goal, promoting and growing the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond.
Back here at East Aurora Country Club on Tee to Green, Brian Colesio and PGA Pro Jeff Mitas. You heard there the Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. We'll have that this segment. We might even get the pro here, David Jones, to join us for that as well. He's
hustling.
He's busy and working hard, as any good PGA pro would be on a Saturday morning, right?
Yeah, except for me. Yeah, because I'm on the radio. But
Every other PGA pro is working very hard, Jeff, right now. Well, you know, someone has to be the star representing the PGA pro.
Weekend mornings, as a PGA pro, you don't sleep in on weekend mornings. Let's put it that way.
That's right. Yeah. Any of the young players that have aspirations of being a PGA pro, if you don't like waking up early, pick a different career path,
Yes. It's a morning sport, that's for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, but it's the best time of the day.
That is true.
Love it.
That's true. Mm-hmm. So Noah and Mitch and Andrew and Kai, we had all them on last segment. That was fun to talk to some of the players. That was cool. And part of the reason they're in – and all of the organization, the recruiting, and what goes on done by some of the tournament directors and coming in, Jeff Kamian and Paul O'Brien, who, of course, are part of the staff to do that. The matching pullovers, too.
Look at that, team pullovers.
Jeff, good morning.
Good morning.
Paul, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks for having us back. Thanks for making your yearly annual radio appearance. Appreciate it. We're ready to talk. So tell us about this year's field. First of all, 67 – let's get to the field in a second. 67 years, that's pretty impressive here. There's not any event of any, you know, sports or non-sports events. Like, to do it 67 years in a row, you must be doing something right. So kudos to you guys.
Well, thank you. It is the oldest junior invitational in North America, and the club is very proud of it.
Yeah, as you should be.
Yeah, you guys definitely do a good job supporting it, and the members got to give up a lot. And there's a lot of work to be done. You guys are on the committee. You probably made a few phone calls and typed a few emails off to a few people.
A few.
Yeah. Trying to get now. How many players will you have in the field this year?
It's always 80.
Always 80. Yeah. And how many countries are represented this year?
Six. I don't know. Six.
Six.
Six. Six or seven. Yeah.
Yeah. You always have a diverse group of kids, right?
Yeah. And this year, you know, we have a broader participation from the U.S. We've got probably 10 different states involved. You know, we're usually pretty heavy in the Northeast and Florida, but you know, there's some kids from Ohio and Texas and South and North Carolina coming. So
Virginia.
Yeah.
The format for the tournament is cool in the sense that it changes halfway through. So can you talk about that, Jeff?
Sure. So we start with medal play on Tuesday and Wednesday. And
36 holes, right?
36 holes. Mm-hmm. And after we're done with 36 holes, we flight the kids. It's a little bit different this year. We had a top 32 playoff on Wednesday afternoon, 1 versus 32, 2 versus 31. Winners went into the championship flight, and they would go into the platinum flight, and then the remaining 48 players in the field would be flighted into gold,
silver and bronze. And it's also almost a new tournament starting Thursday morning. We eliminated that after a lot of discussion after the tournament last year. Our 1 versus 32, 2 versus 31 playoff was interrupted and basically canceled by rain. And we, after a long discussion, we decided that it makes more sense to just flight directly off of the medal play. So the top 16 will go into the championship flight. And we expect that there will be a, you know, 3-for-1 or 4-for-2 playoff to ultimately get into that. It usually happens that way.
That's the most stressful playoff, yeah, trying to get in when you're in that last spot, trying to, you know, 5 guys for 1 spot or whatever it ends up being. Those are always a lot of stress. You got to go out and make a birdie on the first hole, you feel like.
Last year, top 16, I think, was it 148, Paul? Was that the
I think it was 147.
147. So
that's pretty good playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good playing.
Yeah.
So we've had, and we're going to, a little later in the show, we're going to talk about last week's U.S. Open. You've had a former U.S. Open champion play in this event. Jim Furyk has played, and a former Masters champion, and Trevor Immelman. And, you know, I was just kind of going through the list here of some famous players that have played in the past. Beyond Immelman, who has won the Masters, and Furyk, who's won the U.S. Open. Jeff Sluman, a player that, if you're from Western New York and you follow golf, you know him. Multiple-time winner on the PGA Tour, and he won the PGA Championship. So, I mean, you may have a winner this week or a player this week go on and win a major someday, which would be pretty cool to do, like what Gary Woodland just did at Pebble Beach.
Sure.
Yeah, and we've had, Corey Connors won his first PGA Tour event this year down in Texas, got him into the Masters. He played here in 2009.
Excellent.
So
And he had a nice run at the Canadian Open, too.
He there. Did,
he,
yeah.
He was in contention. That's right.
A couple other guys that are still amateurs played in the Canadian Open. Joey Savoy, who won here in 2012. He's playing for the Canadian National Amateur Team, and Josh Whalen were both in the Canadian Open.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a list in front of us. There's a lot of names you would recognize on this. You know, Trevor Immelman and Rory Sabatini, Jim Gallagher, Joey Sindelar, Jeff Sluman, EJ Fister, Dudley Hart. Yeah, yes.
Local player Camilo Villegas is a guy who's won multiple times.
Billy Mayfair, Billy Andrade. Yep, U.S. Amateur champions.
You
know, yes.
And you go way back. The first couple years, it was John Konsek won 3 times.
That's right.
Of Purdue fame, and Ward Wetlaufer, who was on the '59 Walker Cup team, probably the best amateur team ever assembled.
Yeah, I had the honor of playing with Mr. Wetlaufer a couple times. And didn't Mr. Pfister win this event, the original Mr. Pfister?
He stopped John from winning 4 times.
Did he?
Yeah.
And his son, EJ, did EJ win it?
EJ won it,
So that's pretty cool to have two people from the same family and members at the club win it.
7:31 here on Tee to Green. We're live at East Aurora Country Club talking about next week's International Junior Masters. Jeff Kamian and Paul O'Brien, tournament directors, part of the staff that gets this great event going. How about people that want to come out and watch, Jeff? What are some of the logistics involved?
Well, we'd love everybody. We'd welcome everybody to come out and watch.
Event is free, right?
The event is there's free parking, free. There's no tickets or anything like that. We get started Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. off the first tee, and 7:30 on Tuesday morning off of both tees. And then Thursday we start match play, and that's also at 7:30. Thursday's a great day to come out and watch because there is golf the whole course by 9 o'clock in the morning. The whole course will be flooded with matches, and then after the first morning matches. We have afternoon matches, and the quarterfinal matches typically are just amazing to watch.
Yeah. Now, a lot of the players, when we ask them why they like coming here, beyond the golf, they mentioned other things like the dinners, the meals.
Food.
The
I think they all food. Mentioned food, didn't
That's
they?
Right.
It's like working with Sylvester again. Yeah.
That's true.
Talk about food.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, look at us.
Who
we're
doesn't
pretty
love
good with food.
That's right. Yeah, well, look at us here.
I don't miss a lot of meals.
No, I mean, who doesn't love good food, right? Yeah. I mean, so – how about some of the other things beyond the golf, Paul, that and Jeff, you guys can both jump in on this, that you feel like you guys like about this week?
You know, the format is great. The watching match play is different, and it's not played a lot anymore. But, you know, beyond that, we have a champions dinner on Wednesday evening. And that's far as I'm concerned, that's the highlight of the week. We make our medal awards, and you know, and the kids and the parents that you meet, and Jeff can tell you there's some guys coming back tomorrow that played, you know, 5-6 years ago, just to you know, renew some friendships and play with some of the guys that are going to be playing this week and show them the golf course, you know, that's the great part of it, is the people you meet.
Yeah. What about you, Jeff? What do you like about this week beyond just the physical act of guys playing? Obviously, there's
a competition piece. We do a lot of prep for about 9 months for this event, and this is the week that we really look forward to and really enjoy. I echo what Paul said. The Champions Dinner, to me, seeing all 80 boys, and they all have their sport coats on, and Team Columbia, they're
no
all
baseball
matching.
Hats, huh?
No baseball hats.
That's weird. That's the first time you'll see boys without baseball hats.
And
yeah.
And they just have a great time, mingling with each other, and they there's a lot of photo opportunities, and they're goofing around down on the practice green and
in front of all the flags out there, all the nation's flags.
Exactly, yep. Right. They have a lot of fun. And get to meet the parents or the coaches or chaperones, and it's a really nice evening. And that and the finals party that we have after play has been concluded, we do the awards, and then finals party is kind of like a thank you to the membership here for forfeiting their course for a week, and we have a great turnout for that, probably close to 200 people for it.
Yeah, awesome. Well, it looks like you guys are ready to go for another great year. Good luck.
Thank you.
We always wish you good weather, but this year especially, I hope
yes.
you have a good week of weather.
We could use it.
That's right. Well, good job as always. Thanks for having us here, and we look forward to seeing some great golf this week.
Thank you.
All right. Paul O'Brien and Jeff Kamian, tournament directors here at the International Junior Masters event. As we roll on here from East Aurora Country Club, a lot goes into planning an event like this. I mean, when you're just running a tournament like at Glen Oak, I mean, there's mm-hmm. a ton of logistics involved. But an event like this where you have players coming from all over the world, spectators, parents, there's housing, there's dinners. I mean, there's a lot of planning involved. And the membership, they all take a piece in that, too.
Yeah, I mean, just the logistics of the transportation and the housing must be and trying to get the field together has to be difficult, you know, because you're limited to 80.
Right.
So, you know, you probably have a list you're working off of, and you start checking off players. Some can't make it. Some are playing in competing events, et cetera, or can't get the time off school or whatever it is. So, you know, trying to get this list together, and then there's always someone in the last minute that can't make it, so you have a waiting list, and the dinners and everything else, that's why there's committees for this. It can't be run by one person.
That's right. All right, so we'll get to our Western Europe PGA tip of the week here. Let's talk about match play.
Okay.
That's a big piece of maybe winning this tournament is being successful at match play.
It is different.
Yeah. How mentally would you take match play versus playing just in a normal stroke play competition?
You know, I think you probably take a few more chances because you're always playing against the course, but you're playing against that person. Normally in stroke play, you're just competing against yourself. You're trying to shoot the lowest number you can against the golf course. When you're in match play, hey, I'm trying to beat you. It doesn't matter what I do. I can make a 6 on this hole. As long as you're making a 7, I can beat you. So that's always something that you're aware of. And you're watching where your other guy's hitting, your opponent's hitting, because, you know, if he's going to have a hard time making bogey or making par from this position, you may play a little more conservatively. You know, you may lag your putt as opposed to trying to make your putt, or you may pitch it out to the left of the pin and just make sure you have an uphill putt instead of, you know, if you had a wedge in your hand, you're maybe trying to make birdie, but your opponent's in trouble. I do think you want to watch your opponent, but you want to continue to do what you do well. So if your opponent hits an iron off a tee because he's not confident with the driver, you know, I think you still go and hit the driver because that's what your plan was. Right. Yeah. I don't think you want to have him force your maybe off the tee as much into changing your strategy of how you're going to play. But once the hole gets going, after the tee shot or the approach into the green, that's where you're going to have to start noticing, hey, what's my opponent doing and how do I react to that? The other thing is you want to put your foot down when you can. If your opponent's struggling, you want to get as many wins because momentum can turn pretty quickly and a player can get hot. So even if you're 3 or 4 up, you don't want to start coasting. You still want to play your game. You want to try to beat your opponent every single hole because you never know when they're going to get hot.
Yeah. No, it's tough. I mean, when you're playing in that match play format, if the first player maybe hits an errant tee shot, and then all maybe you're holding driver, and then all of a sudden,
yeah. Maybe, but if you're a good driver, you know, and you're confident, I think you still let the driver rip there, and you know, and you're because they're gonna, you know, they can make great shots too. They're in this event because they're good players, and they're gonna try to find a way to get back in this hole, and they're gonna have a little different mindset, maybe because they're in trouble. So you got to still play your game and try to beat these guys hole after hole. If you got them four down, try to get them five down. That's what's important, I think, in match play.
All right, good stuff there. Speaking of our Western Europe PGA Tip of the Week, we've got extra insight. The pro here, David Jones, is with us. David, good morning. I know you're running around working hard.
Good morning.
Thanks for giving us a few minutes. You want to add on to Jeff? I know you didn't get to hear what he said, but our tip this week is how to play in match play and be successful. What are some keys you think that are important? Obviously, a big part of winning this event will be being a successful match play player.
So, again, not hearing what Jeff said, this golf course to me sets up excellent for match play, because you in match plays, we all know, you're not playing the golf course. And when you get yourself wrapped up here and playing the golf course, you find yourself in some pretty precarious situations. Although our defense is not our yardage, it's where you need to be. So as long as you're paying attention to your opponent and not trying to, again, overpower the golf course and play shot by shot, and you find yourself, you know, on a day-to-day match when you're playing with your friends out here in match play, that you tend to score a little bit better because you don't get consumed with where can't I hit it or where should I be. You actually play more individualized golf.
Yeah, you're reacting to your opponent.
You're
right?
Reacting, yeah, yeah. And you're putting pressure on him or her when by hitting quality shots, not by, again, trying to hit it as far as you can every time or going after every single pin. Maybe playing a little bit conservative here will play to your advantage when you're on East Aurora specifically. And I mean that because, again, we're a 6,500 yard golf course, so when you look at today's golf courses, they tout themselves on yardage and how far. And I'll challenge anybody to come here and try to hit that 310, 320 yard drive.
Without maybe there being ramifications.
And I'm fairly certain you're going to walk off with the same score, if not worse, than you would if you were to play it smartly. Yeah. This one does definitely require a lot of creativity, a lot of patience. If you're not patient here, you're going to find yourself angry at the end of the round.
You shouldn't be angry,
but again, we know what golf does to us. Yeah. And we don't do exactly what we want to do, and very rarely do we. So in match play, again, here is more be patient. Be patient. And that's why it's fun to watch these kids play, because they do have the power. They can bomb it. And to watch them by necessity back off some of their shots and use their knowledge base of golf versus just the sheer athleticism, it's a neat experience to watch for the next 4 days.
Yeah, excellent. Good advice there. Again, anything you want to know about getting involved in golf, getting golf ready, getting started, lessons, tips, anything, check out the Western Europe PGA website, WNYPGA.com. Speaking of this, we'd love to talk junior golf, obviously, this week, a junior event here. But there's also a cool PGA Junior League event on Tuesday here, David.
Yep.
Talk about that.
So that's something that we're really, really excited about. The members at East Aurora stand by their words of promoting junior golf. It's a big part of our identity. Again, going back 67 years with the IJM, and each generation promotes and make sure that juniors are at the forefront of the next generation. So with that, the PGA of America has a great program, the PGA Junior League, which we play matches throughout the summer, and it culminates to a big all-star matchup at Jeff's golf course at Glen Oak. And then the winner of that last year moved on to Pittsburgh. I don't know if that's the same qualifying spot this year.
I lost track of where they go. They go to some of the great places.
And it culminates with a lunch with Phil Mickelson. It's a big deal, and the PGA does an excellent job of getting behind it. So last year, stepping into to our IJM, Mr. O'Brien had a great idea of let's try to show these young kids, these 8 to 13-year-olds who are just getting their feet under them on the golf course, what they can aspire to get to in a very short time. They can be there in as few as 1-2 years if they get their game in order. So we invited out some kids last year. We had between 30 and 40. We give them lunch. We do a little IJM Cup is what we call it. So we take two, not even best players from each of our five sister clubs in the South Towns, but two of the more competitive players, and we put them out in twosomes. They play a scramble, just as we do in the normal event.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, for PGA Junior League. And what they do is they record their score. They're not playing against another team, and the low score wins. It's incredible. We had a 2-under par one last year for a couple 11-year-olds that were able to go out and shoot 2-under par on a golf course in a scramble format. So it's exciting to get the buzz going. We've got already I've had in my email from the five clubs their rosters. Last year it was just kind of thrown together, you know, hodgepodge, let's see how it works. And now there's some excitement building. We have a trophy that we purchased, a perpetual trophy that will go to the home club of the winning team. So, you know, my son plays in the IGM Cup, and to listen to the buzz already about that, it somewhat supersedes the IGM for these 8 to 12 or 8 to 11, 13-year-olds. But their ultimate goal is to get to the big match with Noah and Drew and Kai and Mitch. That's kind of their end game. So it's a great building block. We're super excited to offer it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll speak on the two of you who are both PGA members, but I mean, I feel like every show, every year, we talk more and more about great opportunities for juniors. And I mean, since the theme of today's show is to talk about a big junior event here,
yeah.
I mean, you guys are proud of. I hear you guys. If you're not, you should be. Like, you know, I know you are, but I'll say it for you. Like, you guys should be proud of your.
We have our own league over at Glen Oak with four teams, and it's just one of the coolest things the PGA has done in a long time. That and the drive, chip, and putt is another great opportunity for kids. You don't even have to be a golfer to get into that. That's just for fun. And there's just so many opportunities now for kids to get into the great game. And we're growing more players. This is they let the PGA Junior League guys go to the Senior PGA Championship. They gave them a special spot there. You've got this event here where, hey, there's a special bonuses and special little things that kids get to see what golf's all about and all the doors it opens for kids that may not have had those doors open. You don't have to be a country clubber. You know, you join these programs and you get to see all the great things that golf brings with it.
Absolutely. David, before we let you go, how about a thought on Gary Woodland last week? He was able to hold off Brooks Koepka, who looks like the unstoppable force of golf right now. And every time it looked like maybe he was going to fall back, he persevered through it. And then eventually at the end, pulled away with some great shots and a big birdie to finish.
So primetime major golf at Pebble Beach with that leaderboard.
Can we sign up for that every year, right?
Can we sign up for that every year? And two good guy. Gary Woodland, anybody that was rooting against him, that would be a tough thing for me to swallow. He's just he comes across as a good human being, and to watch him at the ceremony or the closing press conferences when he made that call to that young girl that he befriended at Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
Yeah. That stuff you that golf offers, and I'm not taking away from any other sport. And I am definitely partial to golf, but those relationships and those people that are on that stage that react and act in that manner after such a victory, heart-touching, it's amazing, and I couldn't ask for a better week in the golf.
He impacted a lot of people just with a
certainly
simple
did.
Phone call like that. He turned a lot of minds. He brought some focus to some stuff, and he just cool. Like
yeah,
you
bigger
said.
Than
yeah.
the game.
Yeah. yeah,
bigger than the game. So, you know, and to have him coming down the wire, he made those putts that you're just – how many more can he make? And – to be so level-headed, and he just kept – it was his time.
Yeah.
It was his time,
and
he deserved it.
And to see the impact of what a person he is, you mentioned that, the fact that there were quite a bit of players that stayed and congratulated him on the 18th. Not only, of course, Koepka, who was playing in the group afterwards, you know, congratulating him, but there was a handful of players, including Justin Thomas, who had missed a cut. He stayed there.
Speaks volumes.
He didn't. Mm. He was done Friday morning. Yep. He was in the early groups Friday, missed the cut, and then was on the 18th green on Sunday late at night.
Yep, there's a few players out there, I think, that you'll see that have that same respect or deserve it, and definitely we saw that Gary was one of those players. I wouldn't count Koepka out for the next one.
No.
No, okay.
But it was super good for golf. And again, that primetime experience, I know that we've probably touched on that, but for me to sit down with my 11-year-old and not, you know, not have to be done at 6 o'clock at night, we could actually enjoy the whole evening and talk the game and watch the game, and then at maybe one of the best U.S. Open venues that you can have.
Yes,
it's eye candy.
Yeah.
It was good for our game, Jeff, for sure.
No doubt. Well, David, have a great week here. Thanks as always.
Thank you for
having us, and good luck with the junior event and of course the IGM week. And
yep, we are certainly looking forward to it. And I'm sure we've said it, but please, if if you're listening and you're looking for something to do and you appreciate a nice venue for some scenery and some good golf, come see us.
Yeah, bring your kids.
Bring your kids, please. It's going to be an exciting week, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
David Jones, the PGA Pro here at East Aurora Country Club. We will take a break. Yes, David, wonderful job as well. We'll take a break and more on the U.S. Open. We'll get Kevin Sylvester's take on the win for Gary Woodland. He joins us next live as he is covering the Travelers Championship this week for PGA Tour Radio. Live at East Aurora, more Tee to Green with PGA Pro Jeff Metis. I'm Brian Colziel. Back after this on WGR.
Time for a check of the PGA Tour leaderboard, brought to you by Encore Golf, Buffalo's Golf Ball, and by Donald Ross, the world's finest golf apparel, and by New Era Golf, headwear engineered to perform that never sacrifices style.
Back at East Aurora Country Club here on Tee to Green, Brian Colziel, PGA Pro Jeff Metis. Thanks to PGA Pro David Jones for joining us, tournament directors Paul O'Brien and Jeff Kamen as well, as along with the four players from earlier in the show. It's going to be a good week here for the International Junior Masters, the 67th edition. But as you heard, time for the check of the PGA Tour leaderboard, the Travelers Championship going on right now in Connecticut through two rounds. Zach Sucher is your leader. He's at 11 under par. Two players are two back. Keegan Bradley and Chez Reavy are at minus nine. They trail Sucher by two. Ryan Moore, Bronson Bregoon at minus eight. Paul Casey, Jason Day amongst the big names at minus seven. If you're wondering about Brooks Koepka, he is playing this week. Koepka is minus three.
It's not a major, so he's not
tied
trying.
For 47.
Yeah.
But he had a better round yesterday. Victor Hovland, who was the low amateur at Pebble Beach last week, is making his pro debut. He's minus two. And is on the course right now as we speak. Jordan Spieth, the biggest name amongst those that will not be making the did not make the cut. He won't be playing the weekend. So there's your look at the PGA Tour leaderboard. We'll get Kevin Sylvester here in just one moment with his thoughts on the event as he is working the event this week for PGA Tour Radio. Time, though, for our look now at PGA Tour champions as it's brought to you by Absolute Care, affordable adult assisted living. And this week, the Champions Tour players are playing at University Golf Ridge Course as they are playing right now in the American Family Insurance Championship. Jerry Kelly is your leader through one round, minus seven. David Frost, one shot back at minus six. And there are six golfers at minus five, including Steve Stricker, David Toms, and Corey Pavin. John Daly, tied for ninth, minus four.
Wow.
All right, so there's your Absolute Care look at the PGA Champions Tour players.
I'm all always right. surprised when John Daly plays well. Yes,
that's right. Yeah, he's an up and down ride, no doubt about it. All right, Kevin Sylvester now, of course, always part of our show. He's working the Travelers Championship this week for PGA Tour Radio. I heard Kevin working yesterday. Just calling the action. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You know that PGA Tour Champions events at Wisconsin, Jerry Kelly better be leading, right? He and Steve Stricker, that's like their home course. So
that's true. They are Wisconsin boys.
They get all the good kicks off people's feet.
That's right.
Yeah.
Kelly lost last year by one stroke to Scott McCarron, and I know Stricker's won that event before. So, those two are familiar names atop that leaderboard. You know, not a familiar name atop the leaderboard here at the Travelers Championship, guys. Zach Sucher, he's missed a couple of years due to leg injuries, knee and ankle. Nearly 2 years. He's won on the what used to be the web.com, by the way. It's now just renamed this week the Korn Ferry Tour, which is, you know, which will be Peak and Peak coming up here in just a few weeks. So he won there, and actually he won where the Korn Ferry Tour is this week in Wichita, Wichita Open a couple of years ago. So it'll be interesting to see if he could follow through and win again the same week on a PGA Tour event. But he's got some big names behind him, and this is a golf course that yields some very low scores. This is where Jim Furyk, shot 58, a few years ago, and boy, I was there for that too. And what an incredible moment that was to see a 58 shot in the PGA Tour.
Yeah, yeah. This event continues to get better and better. The fields get better and better, and I would guess too when the U.S. Open is in the Northeast, like it tends to be more often than any other areas of the country. You'll get more and more big-name players. Brooks Koepka is playing this week. As we said, he's at minus three, so he'll play the weekend. Kevin, how about your thoughts on just Koepka chasing down Gary Woodland, but Woodland able to stave him off and get his first major?
Well, you know, before I forget, Jeff, you mentioned it's not a major. Koepka, going in this week, said he and Ricky Elliott, his caddy, were going to treat it like it was a major. They're going to try to do the same mental thing. I think easier said than done, obviously. You know, I think Koepka, what he did at Pebble Beach, not only was predictable, but impressive. And I say predictable because he was one of the favorites going in. You know, he's right now, when it comes to majors, he's on a different planet than everybody else. You look what he's done this year is Tiger-like, to go 2-1-2 in the majors. It's just incredible, especially when everybody's looking at you at the U.S. Open to repeat history. And I think people need to appreciate this. You know, he's looking at the scoreboard. He knows he's got to make something special happen down the stretch. Not easy to do once you get past the 14th hole at Pebble Beach. You know, maybe 15, 16, no. 17, no. 18 is when you can make something happen, but that's hard to do under pressure. And he hit two flush shots the surface, and it was just a off number for him, awkward number for him, and then just missed a birdie to put even further pressure on Gary Woodland. And as far as Gary Woodland, that was impressive. Folks, he didn't come out of nowhere. He's ranked 25th in the world. The guy's won three times on the PGA Tour. He's been having a great season. This isn't a winner out of nowhere to win the U.S. Open. And I'm happy for Woodland and his family. You know, I got to know them a little bit at Kapalua. His parents, I helped navigate them around the golf course a lot. And I had Woodland all 4 days. And he got blitzed that round by Xander Schauffele. He shot 62 in the group ahead of him to beat him by one when he shot 5-under with a 3-shot lead in the final round, which wins every week on the PGA Tour except for that one.
And Woodland won that event. It wasn't that Brooks Koepka didn't. It's just Woodland went out and took it. He played very, very well. Koepka played great too, but he earned that win.
Yeah, he did. You know, and that's what's great about it. You know, and Koepka even afterwards asked, "Well, he didn't have me." He goes, "What are you talking about? I feel great. I played great."
He just got beat.
You know, Gary played better. You know, yeah. And the story. And Woodland did play great. Jeff, I want you to teach me how to hit that stinger three iron driving iron. What a shot to go to, right?
It's not that hard, Kev. You can hit that shot. Yeah, just pull that left wrist, trap it, and move it back to the stance and trap it a smidge.
Yeah, but under pressure. Under pressure.
Oh,
that's right. No, these guys, they're unflappable. You're right. And, I mean, even Justin Rose, who didn't have a good Sunday, how he was able to – he clearly didn't have his A game this week off the tee. But, boy, around the green and putting – I saw Rose's putting stats coming into Sunday before the final round. He had 22 putts on Thursday, 25 on Friday, and then 23 on Saturday going into the final round. I mean, to be in the 20s in any round is incredible, but low 20s. And then, obviously, you know, Sunday, it just at some point it caught up with him. But, boy, he was grinding and grinding and keeping himself in it and going into the back nine, still had a chance to win the U.S. Open. But I agree with both of you there. I mean, Woodland deserved to win. Kevin, you know, you've shared your stories of how Woodland seems to be such a great guy off the course. The players love him. He's had, you know, the viral video we mentioned that has gone all over from his time at the Waste Management Open in Phoenix. And I think that even though Koepka gave him all he could handle, for him to be able to hold him up, it's got to be a pretty satisfying win for him. But all right. Well, Kevin, enjoy the weekend. Unfortunately, we're up against the clock here, but we'll talk to you soon, and we'll listen to you on PGA Tour Radio this weekend.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Thanks a lot. Kevin Sylvester working this week for PGA Tour Radio with the Travelers Championship Round 3 underway already, as we said, and Zach Sucher is your leader.
Never heard of him.
Yep. Well, Kevin just told you a little bit about him right there.
Now I know.
That's right. Hey, a couple of things here before we let you go here. Just news and notes. The Porter Cup qualifier Monday at Niagara Falls Country Club. So good luck to all those that are out playing in that event. We'll be at the Porter Cup at the end of July, the men's Porter Cup, that is. for that event as well. If you want to get in on our Duster Putting Challenge to benefit the Western New York PGA Reach Foundation, registration is open. If you're a Tee to Green Club member, you can sign up on our page to be a Tee to Green Club member at t2green.golf. T2green.golf. Sign up to be a club member there. You'll get 10% off. DusterChallenge.com is the website for that. DusterChallenge.com is the website. Sign up for a great event August 2nd at Fox Valley Club in Lancaster.
And next week, Glen Oak.
And next week, we'll be at Glen Oak. All right. We're looking forward to that. Thanks to everybody here at East Aurora Country Club, and good luck to all the competitors this week. It's the 67th International Junior Masters. We also would echo to come out and support these players in their quest to hopefully win a title this week. The event starts Tuesday, the International Junior Masters website. It's easy, internationaljuniormasters.com. If you're a guy on Twitter or a girl, gal on Twitter, it's at IJMGolf this week. You can follow them for all the updates there. I'll have some pictures and some tweets from my experiences here where I'm going to come out and watch as well this week. So thanks to everybody here, Paul O'Brien, Jeff Kamian, David Jones, Drew Thompson, all the players and staff. Thanks for having us. Derek Kramer back in our studios. Kevin Sylvester at the Travelers. PGA Pro Jeff Mitas. Jeff, have a great weekend.
You too. You're a professional, Brian.
Thank you. Well, I just got to remember all these names. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. Yes, to you, the listener. Hope you enjoyed our show here from East Aurora. We'll talk to you next week on Tee to Green on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.